I'll just do a couple, you know, we'll give them a couple minutes, but I'll do just a couple of housekeeping rules and then an amend, and then we'll go from there. So housekeeping, you know, the intention this morning is just the traditional format, which is three sessions, 50 minutes with a 10-minute break, lunch at noon. And then we do have scheduled beforehand, if you know it or not, then after lunch, a 1 to 150. And then depending on that, I might do a couple optional ones. But if we do that, it'll be just two more, and we end at three. So no matter how much you participate, you'll get 3 to 6 if you want to eat, or you get 3 to 7. I'm assuming 7 will be our ticket meeting, and it's a participation meeting for the evening for people who do not know. And then my intention for tomorrow, but it could change, is just the same. Three sessions in the morning, 50 minutes, 12 noon, we're done. I'm a little more formalized around the morning before meditate. I told people, like, if you wanted to come at any time in the morning to come sit, it's fine. So I started sitting this morning at 3:30. So tomorrow morning I'll let you know I will be here if you wanted somebody to do some rounds of sitting with. I will be here at 3:30. So 3:30 to 5, unless, you know, the vibe changes. I usually just do music. It kind of chills me out a little. And then it also, I am getting ready to go back to New York City. So I do like kirtan because it irritates me sometimes. So it's kind of like, how can I not get enrolled in the noise in New York used to bother me. So I kind of been prepping. So, and then we did this morning, Chris came at 4:30. And then there were some guys out doing Tai Chi at 4. So some then we got more at 5. And at 5 it started getting active. All the early risers were smoking cigars, sitting. Really, it was very cool, you know. Some were walking, doing walking meditation. It was very nice in the morning. And I couldn't tell what was going on the far side, just all down through here. So we did a meditation that I think I'll share with all of you. It was a guided meditation. And then we did maybe 3:30-ish more sits before the 7 a.m. So, you know, in practicing what's cool with the breaks, you know, for me, I got 4 hours of work done before breakfast. So I feel pretty good. I mean, it's really awesome, man. It's just cool. So you're welcome to come. I mean, you can come at midnight. Many times I'll get awoken in the night for something and I'll just go and sit somewhere and then go back to bed. But 3:30 is optional, but I will mention some people at wanted to know if they could do longer sits. And I'm also open if someone wants to do a very long sit, we'll just do the whole sit straight in silence and people can come and go. I'll do 3:30 to 7 straight. It's fine with me. Whatever you would like to do, be my pleasure. So that's kind of the schedule. So that's that housekeeping. Second is an amend. So I found out about 20 minutes ago that when Father opened up the event, he had a request, which was not to cuss in this room. And I was not in the room. So I did not hear the request. So I can only imagine, you know, the incongruency. So, and just luckily, we kept going. Luckily, someone asked me about it, which was so cool. They were like, you know, I just wanted to know why you're kind of cussing like a sailor. And there was a request not to cuss. So I said, why wasn't in the room? I didn't know the request. So once I found that out, I want to clean it up because that's what we get taught here. So, one, I want to be obedient. And two, which is also unconscious of me, language like that hurts people sometimes, you know, just personally, you know, they don't like that language. So, you know, we'll see how well I do starting right now with the Living Amend. So, I'm not, you know, one of the things of my intimate story is when I first came here, I used to cuss so much in a sentence. My sponsor said, do you realize people actually do not understand you? You know, straight from the street, you know, all of it, verb, noun, adverb. You take us out of certain environments and put us in others, that same behavior looks so different. So that's a big character defect of mine, and it's a lot better, and, you know, I'll try to stay awake from it. So I have a request. So Ray, if you do me a favor, I'm unconscious and it comes out, just get the hand up, you know, and then that way I can pause, because it does happen to me. It'll come out and it's afterwards. Even though if I knew the request, I would have hoped you would not know my character defect, because I could have just done it. So hopefully that models, like, that's a modeling, like, on the fly modeling, like, you know, I can't take it back. It's already out there. I can clean it up. And then how am I going to change my behavior, and how am I going to work on it? And if I can't do it by myself, I have to ask for help. So that's what I'm just doing in front of you, to be as transparent versus going to Ray before the session and saying, hey, would you put your hand up? I just thought I'd do it in front of you, just so you can do that too. So that's that. The other thing, just in definitions, is some people wanted to know what an ashram was, because they didn't know that word. So it's like a retreat center, just like this place. So it's Hindu in nature, which doesn't necessarily mean anything. The one I go to is interfaith. So but they have a lot of those rituals, so they do it, and just means a spiritual center, where that is the point of it. And the one I'm at has maybe 80 people who live there full-time on the retreat center. About 120 live across the road in houses, and it has, you know, probably 10 or 15,000 people come a year to it. And it has an order, swamis, which are kind of kahunas, they're up there, and then monks, and then all us who like to hang out with them and see what they're up to. So it's pretty cool. So that was that. And then the other thing is, I wanted to go back. We actually talked about spiritual bypass, remember that? Which is a very common word in the spiritual thing. If you kind of get the hang of working on yourself spiritually, you can play a game with it, which Kirk was kind of saying too, and I wanted to give you the definition of it, because it really it's helpful. A spiritual bypass, or spiritual bypassing, is a tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. So that's extremely common in the spiritual path world. Like, someone could be a good meditator and great spiritually, but emotionally they could, you know, they're 12 years old and they can't handle it. So that work is important for us to do. And some people think spiritual work will handle all that. And, in some ways it can, in some ways it can't. So you just got to be honest with yourself. So for me, I've done a lot of personal therapy and emotional work and some psychological work. AA is great in psychological work, because we do thinking, but also I've had to go for outside help. Yes, sir. Yeah. Slow. Here we go. And it's just a pure Google, you know, spiritual bypass, so it'll come up. But here it is. A spiritual bypass or spiritual bypassing is a tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. So that's what we specifically mean by that. So there we go. We'll do the review after we do our review, right? Because we're in the morning. Some of you have probably already done it, but for those who didn't do it, we do it together. But before we do that, we've talked a lot about lineage. I just want to put another thing in there. If I was living in this area, and just like, who do you, other people to reach out to if you like what you're hearing up there? If I was lived in this area and I did not have Luther, the person I would ask to sponsor me would be Tom M. So, I love you. So, if he thought he, if you need to talk to somebody, and I'm not there, go talk to him. Your day off is gone again. Only because I love you when I say, go talk to him. Okay, so there we go. So here we are. So last night we just went through 86 when we ended, and then we pick off when we wake up. So the beauty, we have a couple terms for the new guys we said to try on. So they're up on the board. That God would just use good orderly direction to try it on for the weekend, and ego, which easing good orderly direction out. So here we go. So last night at the end, it says this: after making our review, we ask good orderly directions, forgiveness, and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So what's cool about that for me is, if I go to bed with that, I kind of sleep in a prayer for direction. So I just kind of sleep in a prayer. And that's been a big difference. Like before, I would do that front end, I didn't really do that. I'd drop that off. And that was told to me many years ago, like, man, you're missing the juiciest part, which is to sit in good orderly directions, arms as you sleep, and see what you wake up with. Hence the short word term is, people will say, will you wake up fresh? So like if I talk to Luther, some of the questions he'll ask is, well, how fresh are you? And that's what he means by that. So if you did this, which we all did it together, if you practice it, let's see what happens in your life if you actually wake up with a little less mind and more freshness. But you'll only know if you do it. So there we are. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask good orderly direction to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Doesn't seem too unreasonable. There's probably a lot we could get from that. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, good orderly direction gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask good orderly direction for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. So for me, that's that pausing, which it gets to. And here's kind of the key, for me at least. we relax and take it easy. And I think that's the kind of the key to it, because when I'm so uptight, I can't hear. So the whole thing is to pause and just kind of like relax. You know, how many tools can I have the day to relax, especially internally? But I kind of use my body for it, you know, just breathing out and let it lapse and feel the thoughts drop out or the anger drop away. And just, I got to relax and take it easy. And then it's like, you know, what should I do? Good orderly, and then good orderly direction may come, or I'll reach out and get good orderly direction from someone else before I move on. And just practicing that. We don't struggle. So that's a great thing, like in an inventory. I spent a while just working on struggle. How much do I struggle to make things happen in my life? And later in this, it says, like, we don't waste so much energy. And I found out I wasted a lot of energy. I didn't know it because I didn't know any difference. You know, because I was comparing it to my past and I was struggling even more. So I felt like I looked fine, but I never inquired, like, what, how much do I really struggle? How much do I really try to make it happen? So that was has been a great inquiry. And then it says, we are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. So it's kind of like a promise. So if we try this for a while, it's saying you're going to start getting good orderly direction directly. So if you're here and you're kind of like, I don't know how to do it, just practice. And then, you know, I like the book because it, for me, I'm always like, how much go do you got? Like, show me what you really have. It's just kind of, I took a character defect and turned it into my spiritual life. And what I found out is this book, if I test it every time, it will deliver, has been my thing. The only time something in here has not come true for me, really, is because I did not do it consistently. And we call that don't quit before the miracle happens. So, what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. So it's telling you exactly what's going to happen if you do it. Just do it. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable we are going to be inspired at all times. And then here's the warning label. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. So yeah, we have a warning label. So when people ask me, how do I start practicing my own internal intuition? I say, start practicing on things that absolutely do not matter. Because if you're wrong, the consequences aren't big. So for example, I like this one a lot. I'm sitting, I get an inclination to call somebody, but I'll put it away. I'll call them right away. And it's totally trippy what people say when you follow that. You know what I mean? Just really trippy. The other thing I used to do I don't know, I'll get these inclinations, like, you should go this somewhere. And I mean, like, why do I have to go there? But I have the time, so I'll go. And what occurs is really nutty. Somebody I know happens to be there. Or someone, I'll end up at a meeting I wasn't, like, thinking of going to, and I get this thing, go to that one. I'm like, well, I go to this one. I go to that one and I hear something that just rocks my world, or I see somebody. So that synchronicity starts showing up because I'm following it. So, but there's no downside to it. Like if I go and then, you know, I got a meeting. If I call somebody and go, hey, I was just thinking of you, no big story. They're like, oh, that feels so good. Kind of, so you get it? So those are some specific examples to start developing this conscious contact. But we have to take it out. So take it out, not like, don't take it out on like, am I going to stay with my significant other? God. No, you know, and then like you get halved and you go down the street and go in the bad apartment. And then all of a sudden we're like, why are you there? It's, oh, I got a good orderly direction. It's like, well, you might want to practice that a little more. But we do that and they'll say absurd things and we are absurd. So we do have to watch that. So very, very small things, but we must practice or we won't get it. And then it says it's going to grow. And that's that piece, uncommon sense becomes common sense. And then it's the same thing with inspiration, you know. I think that's in the fellowship because we feel this good orderly direction. You ever like give advice to somebody that's advice, you're like, you walk away and go, wow, that was really good advice. I should do that. It's like, where did that advice come from? It didn't really kind of, you know, just kind of drop through me. And that's it. Like sometimes it's so close to us, we think it's so mysterious. It's not mysterious, it's covered up. It's not mysterious, it's just covered up with our thinking. And that's a great example right there. You'll feel that. And that's just, that's inspiration. You get lifted up. And so that's what we're talking about. You might not be lifted up all the time. That's why when we go to meetings a lot, like we're so happy, and when new people come or when I'm in a bad mood and I come, you're kind of nauseating because you're so lifted up. It's concrete. It's not a story. It's like you can see and you can feel yourself being lifted up or someone else, and that's a symptom of good orderly direction. Or another thing we'll call is flow is like that, and synchronicity is like that. They're very concrete. So that lets you know it's not your thinking, it's something else. It's verifiable. And that's what people kind of get into, and me too at the very beginning is it my thinking or is it really good orderly direction? And when in doubt, always pass it by someone else. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. So every piece is like going to say, we just got to slow down and let it resonate. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. So they're saying you can easily see why. So if you're sitting there and you don't easily see why, you're missing something. So here's the thing. If it's all about good orderly direction and I'm totally selfish, I'm not following good orderly direction. I'm following my direction. So I'm consciously separated from the whole point. And there's no flow going against all of it. It doesn't work. And then they say, you can easily see why. Because the whole point is to surrender to good orderly direction, and selfishness is non-surrender. So they're just saying, well, if you do the opposite of it, you won't get it. You can easily see that. So I was kind of thinking, they must be a little more advanced than when I came here because I couldn't see it at all. You know, but that's practice. I see more of my selfishness as it goes, as it's pointed out. So I was told at the beginning here when I really started this was just don't pray for myself except for, you know, just for power to carry it out. Just keep it simple. Just don't get into all that. And I thought that was good. It was kind of like training wheels. Just, you know, thy will be done. And that was the first mantra I got when I was 30 days sober. And I hated the G-O-D word at that time. I did not complete with my old ideas around that word. So saying thy will be done was very difficult, but I just did it and, you know, just hated it. But I think something happened anyway. It's kind of wild, huh? Okay, so that's that piece. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or husbands, I'm putting that in, or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. So you can put all that in. No, we're very cool, like whatever you want to do. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. And then so I'm just going to stop there. And then, you know, through the years, we have our, you know, AA has a lot of morning books that just have those little prayers and things. So I like that. Thank you very much. As to start, you know, one day at a time book, 24-hour day book. I think they're great places to start because they're not loaded if we're not cleaned up. They're not loaded with words that you kind of get flipped out. They're just a very safe place to begin. So, and when in doubt, you know, go back to them. They're great back to basics. So someone said, how do I go back to basics? It's like, well, think about when you started and what were the basics. So when I move, I always go back to the basics. So I'm moved in 3 different places. So I try to go to 7 or 10 meetings a week just because I physically can, you know, and I go back to basics, ask people where are good meetings, just exactly what I did back then, you know. You know, who do you respect? So if I have to pass something by somebody, I got somebody. So it's just back to basics. So I like the 24-hour day book a lot for back to basics. It's very beautiful for me. If I'm doing spiritual bypass and I'm adept at this program, I use the Al-Anon book. And I also belong to that program for emotional sobriety. And of any 12-step program, for emotional sobriety, it's helped me way more. It has totally transformed my life. And I always thought it was like, I was very arrogant. You know, I'm from AA and la, la, la. And I really had no contempt prior to investigation. It is a totally different thing than anything this is, and it works on totally different things. And one of the biggest things is emotions. And it really has saved me. It's powerful. Not wishing that you have a drunk in your life that you have to go there, but so there's some practical things. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they have to offer. I was not like that when I didn't like any religious person because I just thought, I just had a lot of old ideas and I was very critical. But as time went on, I found the value of really seeing ancient spiritual tools that millions of people have done that have worked for them to actually have a conscious contact. And I just started, like I was told first, just start in my root religion and get complete. So I started there. And then, you know, men who had what I wanted, I kind of, what did you do? And I'd get that book and practice a little. And sometimes just something resonated with me and I just kind of follow the thread. And I think that's what a lot of us do. And some things work really great for one person, but it won't work for you. But there's these nuggets that are super, super powerful. So I really found out that it's all just different on-ramps to the broad highway. So it's kind of hard not to be included. It's hard not to be included. So just take all that. It's all tried and true, which I like, just like AA. And another thing I didn't really get when I first came here is I'd be like, well, AA works, religion doesn't, you know, because these people would come in and go, well, religion didn't work for me. I did not realize something. If religion really worked for somebody, they never walk through our door because they're totally spiritually fit and they're not drinking. And then if you go in those rooms, which I've been in a lot of them, you see this, but it's this. AA doesn't work because people go, oh, I tried that AA thing. That didn't work for me at all. And they come and they got saved and it all worked. So if something really works for them, you're really not going to see them come through your door. But you hear something constantly like that didn't work. Well, if something works for you, you never leave it. So I did not know that. So I had a lot of contempt, like, see how superior we are. And it wasn't the case. It was just like, you know, I'll just say this, just like maybe we would say about our members. Well, it works if you work it. But different strokes for different folks. Everybody has a path. But I don't want to get caught in that to condemn a path that could really give me a deeper path. And I did that for quite a while because I just didn't understand. Till I was actually sitting in these other rooms, I'd be like, wow, there's probably more AA people out here than there are in there that tried AA and that can't get sober and they're over here trying to do it. And then I was thinking, well, that's true. We say about 90% of them don't make it. They have to go somewhere if they're trying, right? They have to go somewhere. Well, they're just all running around everywhere. It was kind of heartening. I was into it a little. I was like, wow, I just thought they might get drunk and die. All of them, right? Because we've all buried them. Many that we have met here and have gone back out. I did not know there were more that found another path. Thank you. I mean, that's what my brother and sister who suffer from what, thank you. It's really beautiful. So I learned that kind of the hard way, and it's taken. So when I use that now with wet drunks, and they just don't want to do it. I said, well, what do you like spiritually? Go do that. But I already know they're not going to come back here. Go do that. Do you have somebody, a good friend there? Oh, I know. So go talk to him or her. Will you do that for me and call me up and let me know you did it? It's amazing. So it's kind of cool, huh? So we all find our way. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful, and we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. And that's why I was taught that. It's just somebody in the book. My sponsor at that time had 6 months more than me. And he was the one who said, because he was told it, just say thy will be done all day long. One drunk helping another, helping me awaken. Doesn't necessarily matter how much time you got. You just got to know a little more than the guy you're telling, right? It's all that matters. So I love that now. Like, how many days? That's a good practice. Here's another tool. No matter how much time you got, just tomorrow, how many times can you say thy will be done all day? See what happens to your day. My experience is they end up really being nice days. And all of a sudden, I was like, wow, I didn't have all this fear, and I wasn't ruminating as much. And I was like, wow, this constant thought of this is changing me. So another tool. And someone asked me about anger, and I'll probably do that this section. I'll finish this. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. So it's saying, if you want to handle all these, do this stuff. But if I don't do this stuff and I still have all this, and then I go back like my sponsors say, do it. I don't do it. It's like, they're going to keep telling me to do it, or they're going to wait till I suffer so much that I eventually do it. So we have a contest, and you can win, you know, which it's right on the board. We started it yesterday. Who can let go of the most ideas, opinions, resentments, and fear, etc., wins. So, let go of an old idea and just do it. Yes, sir. It's really good. Excitement to me, it's different for other people because, so I'm an adrenaline junkie. So excitement is I can get on a roll with adrenaline with my thinking and make very foolish decisions. So to be able to see like contemplative path or like slow down to speed up. So for me, excitement is just as cloudy as depression. It's the opposite of it, right? Remember when you do inventory about your fears, you write all the fears that you have, and then they say write all the opposites too, and you find out that all those you're afraid of too. And you're kind of like, I'm afraid of both sides. I'm really a little, see, I'm being mindful. I'm a little in a pickle. I'm in a pickle. I'm doing good on this. I'm going to make it through a whole section. I'm in a, see, and that's the same thing. Pray to misery and depression. But how about how many of us on the other side, it's adrenaline, excitement. So that's just for me, and that's really a personal opinion. You know, I would all, you know, I'd ask Luther his opinion, and Leonard, and some other people have been doing it for a while too, and see what they say. And I only know that because that it was particular to me, so it was taught that way to me. Did that help you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. And a whole paragraph is just these five words. It works. It really does. I don't know how clearer this stuff can get. I mean, it's so clear. It's just, will I do it and see if they're lying to me or not? If I do it enough, does it really work? The only way to not know if you're lost is check to see if you're just not doing it. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let good orderly direction discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. And that's the end of the morning meditation. And that's the biggest thing, is we're undisciplined. Will I be disciplined? And I do think discipline is the key here. We say progress, not perfection. The 12 and 12 says progress towards perfection. And people asked Bill about that. And he said, well, we were sensitive and when we wrote the big book, and we didn't really want to bum people out. So we said, you know, progress, not perfection, but then when we did the 12 and 12, we really got a little more honest and said toward discipline. So let me take, who was it who was the anger? We were asked, we had just how people wanted the weekend and questions just to catch people up. So, so what we'll do is we'll stop here. We'll come back at the top of the hour. And then, but we'll start with, I'll say we'll start with like character defects, like how do we work on those? We'll just, and we'll start with anger, but we'll maybe take a couple others and we'll work that. Is that cool? Okay. So thank you, gentlemen, for the first session.